today on Real Radio.
Jesus is the true vine, the Father's the vine dresser, and every branch. What's that all about? I think it's good for us right now in the light of what's going on in the world that we make sure that we have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not in declaration only. It's in doing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure, Pastor Jack wants us to re-examine our Christian walk by making sure that we're not just believing in Christ, but that we also have a relationship with Him. As Jesus and His disciples were walking from the upper room Passover meal to the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have passed something called the golden vines of the temple. Now, these precious vines symbolized Israel's relationship with God, and this is where Jesus spoke of Himself as being the true vine, and we are His branches. Today, Pastor Jack begins in the book of John, chapter 15, by looking at this threefold relationship, Jesus being the true vine, God being the vine dresser, and we ourselves as the branches. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John 15, this is very personal today. I mean, I know there's a lot of us here at this third service, but this is all about you and I talking this morning and sharing something that is very, very personal. It's heavy duty. I got to tell you, though, it's heavy. And you'll see why in a moment. John chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1, follow with me. Jesus is speaking. Oh, let me tell you this before we start reading. Jesus, when He speaks John 15, you know what we know about this? This is just moments after the upper room experience. This is very cool stuff. You know the upper room where Judas and all the other guys were there at the table? Do you remember when they were breaking the bread and the announcement is made, my betrayer is at the table? They're all in the upper room. Many of you have been with us to that portion of the old city of Jerusalem. In fact, for those of you who have got this picture, the upper room setting, as Jesus leads the disciples out from that point, we know exactly where He's going. He's going across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, which is host to a garden. And the garden is called the Garden of what? Gethsemane. The Garden of the Crushing. That's where they treaded out the olives to get olive oil. The place of crushing. The Garden of Crushing. There's only one way to get there. This is so cool. It's actually not only one way to get there, it's reduced down to a path about 6 feet wide. So we know exactly, 2,000 years ago, we know exactly what's happening. Jesus is in the upper room. They now break from that. Judas is gone. He's in cahoots with the bad guys. And there's an arrest party being formed. So now Jesus takes the 11 guys now, and they are heading northeasterly toward the Temple Mount. If you're looking, look everybody, if you're looking, if this was a TV and you were watching like the news, there would be the Dome of the Rock Mosque, that golden mosque that came much later, but it's there, okay? And then you have the Eastern Gate that is sealed up right here. There's graves in front right here. Jesus is coming from this direction, southwesterly, heading northeasterly. He comes up. They go just here on the south end of the southern steps of the temple. We do Bible studies on the southern steps. Neil Armstrong said, "This is the most significant spot on earth, and it's the most important place I've ever put my foot, not the moon." That's what Neil Armstrong said. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is walking now with the disciples down that area of the southern steps. They come right to the end of the Temple Mount, and He turns left. He walks in front of the Golden Gate, which is sealed up today. You can look at it online or in photos, and then turns right. Now the temple's to their back. They go across about a six-foot-wide walkway across the Kidron Valley, or the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You know it from the Old Testament. And then you head up the hill to the Mount of Olives, and the Garden of Gethsemane is just opposite. Jesus clearly has the disciples turn and look back at the temple. Why? Because all around the temple at the top, we would say the crown molding of the temple, the facade or something, the trim, the eaves, whatever you want to, you know what I'm talking about? There was a beautifully woven vine, grapevine, with grape leaves and grapes overlaid with gold. In fact, in 70 AD, when Titus, the general of the 5th Roman Legion, came into town, they took that gold off the temple and took it back. We know exactly where that gold is today. That gold is in the Vatican vaults in Rome today. By the way, so is the menorah that was in the temple. It was actually seen by eyewitnesses, Flavius Josephus, one of them, where in Rome, entering into what is called the Forum, the Arch of Titus in Rome has got a relief carving of Titus and his troops carrying the menorah of Israel into Rome. We know exactly where that is. They took the gold, and Jesus, watch this. Jesus turns the disciples around, and he says, watch this. John chapter 15, are you open? Verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Translation, you think that's a vine? I'm the true vine. You think the contractors did an awesome job? My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, this is key. If you're a Bible student, circle this word. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who believes or abides, excuse me, in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus said this, interestingly enough, as I said earlier, without Judas being present. What fruit did Judas ever bear? None whatsoever. Was he among the ranks of the believers, quote, believers? Yes, he was. Was not Judas a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Listen, you want to get freaked out? Two times Jesus sends his disciples out to go minister to see. I mean, he knew how they would do. They didn't know how they would do. And he sends them out. Remember, he tells them, go, take no staff, take no money bag, go and minister. I'll see you later. He sends them out. And they came back, do you remember? And they said, wow, it was amazing. We preached the gospel. We performed miracles. Even demons were subject to our powers. And that was exciting, Jesus. And remember what Jesus said? He said, that's fantastic, but don't get all pumped up over that. Get pumped up over this, that your names are written down in heaven. Isn't that cool? So here's the thing. Even with such declaration, even with such incredible exposure, Judas was in that group early on. We have no reason to doubt that Judas did not perform miracles. It sounds as though he did perform miracles. Performing miracles, is that how you get to heaven? No. It's not only by being a believer, there's something that is incumbent upon a believer. There's something that's native to being a believer. There's something about a fact to us raising our hands, and that is there's the fruit that proves what we proclaim. And here's where all of us today who are believers really need to check our own pulse. This is very, very important. We're looking at a message this morning that is kind of entitled, because this is more of like reading a diary in our lives, I guess, Just Making Sure. Why are we doing this morning? Because you know what? The Middle East is going nuts, everybody. The world's coming unhinged. It seems like there's something more going on every week. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not aware of anything more going on this week. Oh, how about a 7.9 and a 7.6 earthquake in various places this week since we met last? Things are crazy right now. Why is it important that with what's going on in the Middle East right now and the global markets and all this kind of stuff, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, but people, now it's gotten so prominent, people are not talking about it. It's gotten real quiet. It's like, did you see the news? I don't hear any news. Did you turn on your radio? I don't turn on the radio. Did you read the newspaper? I don't read the newspaper. Well, there's just all this bad news everywhere. Listen, in the midst of all this, I thought it'd be a good weekend, a good Sunday for us to ask this question that, hey, maybe we should make sure about our own walks with Jesus. Maybe with all that's going on, it's just not good enough. Some kid told me the other day, oh, that's fat. What does that mean, fat? It's not fat if we know all the stuff. If we can answer all the Bible questions, and if we can watch the Great American Bible Challenge program that's now on TV, which is a great show. So I love it. I'm shouting the answers at the TV now. If I know all the answers, but my head got cut off, then all the answers would be in my head. What good is that? No, listen, to go from theoretical religiously to practical relationally, I need to have the truth that came into my ears and into my head be settled in my heart. Is Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? He is only if I understand that I'm to abide. It's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And this is very important. Let's look at verses 1-3. He says, I am the true vine and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch. And I just want to stop right there for a second. Stop right at the beginning of verse 2. Jesus is the true vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and every branch. What's that all about? I think it's good for us right now in the light of what's going on in the world that we make sure that we have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not in declaration only. It's in doing. Imagine now if we were to make the announcement, oh, I know that guy. I mean, what if I were to say something? Who's famous? Who's really famous? Clint Eastwood is famous this week. Yikes. What if I were to say to you, I know Clint Eastwood. And you say, oh, wow, that's cool. Wow, really? Man, that's something. And then Clint Eastwood goes, who are you? I'm Jack. I mean, I know you. Oh, and you mean you saw me in some movies? Well, yeah, you know, same thing. It's not the same thing. Well, I go to church. I know Jesus. Not the same thing. I know some Bible verses. Not the same thing as knowing them. Very different. Do you have a working, living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ? The truth of that will be proven, shown in how your life is lived. And here's the amazing part. Listen, everybody. It's not how hard you work at it. If I were to tell you, and this is good in the context, study hard, work hard, put God first and study, you know, dedicate your science and your medical training to God, be the best student at UCI and come on out and be top of your class and take care of me for free. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's your effort, and we're to put that effort into that. But if I were to tell you that that's how you know God, that is not how you know God. We can easily take a church, a Bible study, our own Bibles, and actually make it an idol. We can avoid doing the things that God would have us to do in life, and we can get so busy with Christian stuff that we actually miss the Christ of Christianity. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about abiding. Jesus numerous times says here, abide. The key is abiding. If you abide, fruit is produced. In those first 8 verses, it's very clear. Jesus is saying, this is how you're going to know a real, real, heaven-bound believer in me. They will hang out with me. They will dwell with me. They will fellowship with me. The word abide means to live with him. Jesus is saying, live with me, and I'll live with you. You see, what is that? Is that a two-way street? Yeah, kind of, sort of. I say kind of, sort of, because he's waiting for the invitation. Listen, church, he wants to live with you. He wants to live with us. He wants to live with me. The thing is, I need to say, Jesus, I want you to live with me, and I want to live with you. The backslidden church in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to that church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup, have dinner with him. Right? Isn't it interesting? He's not saying that to non-believers. I know it's a great verse to share with people as an evangelistic context, and I'm sure we're not doing it any harm, but if you were trying to answer that in a Bible college or university, you'd get the wrong answer. Jesus is talking to a church that goes by his name, and he's saying, let me in. Well, to abide in Christ is to open up your life and say, Jesus, come in. Jesus, listen, in every way, shape, and form, take possession of my life. Take control of my life. Listen, friends, Jesus is saying to us today in the Word of God, trust me enough, know me enough, that when you approach that moment and say, Jesus, come into my life, take my life, or be greater and bigger in my life, be the Lord of all aspects of my life, he's asking you to trust him, to hand him the keys of everything. And listen, friends, church, listen, Jesus wants to encourage us this morning. It is absolutely essential that when we hand him the keys, we are saying to him, I trust you with my life. Don't raise your hand, but do you trust Christ with eternity? On that moment that you're dying, do you trust Jesus to get you into heaven? Oh, yes, I do. Well, then listen, do you trust Jesus Christ today to lead you to that job or to lead you through that difficulty or to take you through this illness or whatever it might be? Dealing with your boss or your boss maybe having to deal with you? What is it? He is Lord over it all if we are real believers. We cannot look, we cannot experience him as the true vine and the Father as the vine dresser unless we're a branch. This is something. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says, for God, that would be the vine dresser, was in Christ Jesus, that's the true vine, reconciling the world back to himself through Christ. That's me. So God has done this, and he wants us to have a reconfirmed relationship. Simply put, is your heart hot for God? Now listen, before we move on from here, this is a very critical thing, and I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. I'm pointing the finger at me. Jack, you've been a believer for 35 years. Are you hot-hearted for me right now, or were there days in your previous Christian experience where you were hotter for me? Was your love more intense for me in earlier days than it is now? Number one, Christian, listen. There are seasons that we all go through in our Christianity. Thank God seasons change. This morning, it felt like fall at first and second service. Third service, it's right back to summer. Seasons change. We must have seasons change. You will never have a crop. You will never have sustainable growth in the way of food product and all without seasons changing. Your existence is predicated upon seasons changing. I understand that. Spiritually, seasons change. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But listen, do you know what should never change? It's God's will that your heart be hotter for him today than it was this time last year, or however long you've been a Christian, today should be your hot day. Today. You say, Jack, I know, like in a book, that makes a lot of sense. I know, Jack, that in a perfect world that makes sense, but what? But you come up to me like a guy after first service and say to me after the service, hey, you know what? I need you to pray for me, man, because I'm in a lot of trials right now. Really? Like what? Well, I got arrested for doing pot, and then I got an accident. And I was in the hospital for so long that I came out hooked on morphine. So now I'm trying to deal with that. You know, those doctors really messed me up. And he was blaming everybody. And he goes, I said, well, you know what? You just really need to answer this question I'm going to ask you. He goes, yeah, sure, what is it? I go, when's the last time you read your Bible? And he goes, well, I don't read it as much as I should. Listen, my friends, anyone who gives you that answer, you can come right back at them and say, You haven't read your Bible in months at best. That's code word. Oh, I don't read as much as I should. Translation, I ain't reading it at all. Okay? So I told him, I said, listen, stop blaming the doctors and stop blaming the guy that broadsided you and stop blaming pot and stop blaming morphine. The fact of the matter is you are powerless, you're fruitless because you've decided to be like that. You need to start reading your Bible. And the guy goes, oh, Bible? Like magic? I mean, can't you just like make the sign of the cross over me, Pastor? And I'll be, no. Listen, this whole thing comes about. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and I in you, something's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 2. As a Christian, he prunes. If you're not a Christian, he cuts away. Cut away. Look at that verse, verse 2. If you are a branch and you're not producing, Jesus says, well, that's just to be cut away. But if you are a branch producing, this is amazing. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to want to hear this, but then you are going to want to hear this. Remember how, you know, we're all Christians, right? Okay, well, watch this. Have you ever had a rough day? Have you ever had a rough week? Have you ever had a rough couple of months or a few rough few years? Have you ever had this thought in your mind, God, what are you doing? If he were to answer you back, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. What are you doing? I'm just complaining about what you want to do. As a believer in this life, God does this. All those Christians at Calvary Chapel, they all raise their hands. They're all so productive. They're so fruitful as believers. That's fantastic. And as you're standing there in your fruity glory of producing all this amazing spiritual stuff, Jesus comes out of the woodshed and he's got an axe. And he's walking toward you with a smile on his face. And he's sharpening the axe. And he's coming up, Jack, dude, how are you? Yeah, I'm good, Lord, how are you? I'm fantastic, I'm so blessed, and I got word from my father, he's really happy. Why? Because you know what? You've been producing fruit in your life. This is awesome. You've been hanging out with me, you've been in the word, we've been in conversation called prayer, you've been talking with God's people, your brothers and sisters, life's happening, I'm using you, this is fantastic. So it's good, right? Oh, it's great. Okay, good. Because I was beginning to, I thought that axe there was for me for a moment. And he goes, oh, actually, it is for you. And whack, he cuts off a branch. And I'm going to trim this off because wherever I trim this, it's going to be bloody. Oh, man, there's going to be sap gushing everywhere. But listen, when you get healed up, you know what happens? You sprout out more and you produce more. And these things are called trials and tribulations of life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just Making Sure. Thanks for listening. And we can be confident in this truth, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Before I let you go, reallifewithjackhibbs.org is our website, and that's where you can pick up the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. Now, this best-selling One-Year Bible helps you read through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day. The One-Year Bible divides God's Word into daily readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, creating an achievable and unforgettable devotional experience. Millions of people have benefited from reading through God's entire Word by using this One-Year Bible, me included, and you can too. This best-selling daily reading Bible divides the text into 365 sections so you can read through the entire Bible in one unforgettable year. That's as little as 15 minutes a day, by the way. I did it. I think you can do it too. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the New King James Version of the One-Year Bible. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.